Joining us now, Representative Katrina Shanklin. First of all, it's been a busy session for you so far. Out in the district, talking about the budget and other issues. A lot of things in this budget concern you, don't they?
Yep, I have a few items that I think are most concerning, and I think a lot of public opinion would go along with what I think, too.
One of the big things coming up, the education and the voucher program. I know that you're opposed to expanding the voucher program. Let's get an explanation there.
Sure. The voucher expansion increases the per student revenue for voucher schools by $1,400. There's actually $0 afforded to public school students. So really what that does is it creates separate and unequal schools, and also these voucher schools are in other parts of the state. They're really nowhere near us. We're shipping our tax dollars to larger cities that are implementing this program, and these voucher schools are unaccountable. They're not required to have teachers have background checks. They're not required to have the same standardized tests and common core standards that public schools have. So I think a lot of taxpayers are really concerned about not only the inequity, but sending our tax dollars to other communities that really won't benefit them.
You mentioned in the presentation at the library today that the people don't always realize there's a difference between a voucher program and school choice.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, choice, that really isn't necessarily being disputed at this point. What we are disputing is these unaccountable voucher schools. For example, some charter schools are public. These are led by, you know, public teachers. They have to follow the same standards. They have to do the same testing. They have to have background checks. No one's disputing that. We are disputing the voucher school idea. We're disputing the idea of giving hundreds of millions of dollars to private voucher schools that don't follow the same rules as us while not giving any money to the public schools.
Going into another topic, you touched on briefly that the governor and his decision on accepting expansion of Medicaid money from the federal government is an expensive mistake for Wisconsin. Would you like to highlight that?
Yeah, so that cost is $100 million to taxpayers, and we are covering 175,000 less people in health insurance. So really what that does, it puts taxpayers at a really distinct disadvantage. They're going to have to pay $100 million more to cover 175,000 people less. That actually might even cost us more money in the long run. Having uninsured people using the emergency rooms really affects the insured people. So what we really need to do is accept the money. We still can take it. There's a bill in the legislature to do that. I really hope to see bipartisan support for it because it will save taxpayers money in the long run.
And you'd also mentioned that the bill is actually like being taxed twice because the money we get is going elsewhere and then we still have to pay for things, correct?
Absolutely. When we take federal government money, that money is originally ours. The federal government, we give them our tax dollars. They give it back to us in different kinds of block grants, in different different grants. Generally, sometimes they're community development grants, sometimes they're for housing, sometimes they're for food, sometimes they're for Medicaid. In this instance, it's for Medicaid. And so for us to throw that away, another state gets it. If you remember the high-speed rail controversy, we threw out $810 million. I believe Florida and New York got that money instead. The governor asked for some of it back to do repairs. The federal government said, that's not how that works. We can't give you any money. And we had to pay $300 million for that mistake. So in this instance, we're throwing away several tens of millions of dollars and having to pay $100 million as a result of that. It's a big mistake for everyone involved.
Let's change subjects to one that's been a real hot button around Stevens Point area, and that's Skyward and the contract for the software system. As an observer, I've seen where this issue has some Democrats, some Republicans on the same team trying to get a multi-vendor system. You've got a bill proposed, I understand it's locked up in committee.
Yep, Assembly Bill 60 is going to Government Operations and Licensing. That is, the chair is Representative Tyler August. I'm hoping to see a hearing soon. I'm definitely working my best to get a hearing for it, but I think we're going to have to ask a lot of constituents to make those phone calls and emails as well. I am happy and heartened to see that this bill does have bipartisan support, but I'd like to see even more of it. And I would like to ask Republican leadership, including Speaker Robin Voss, to call for a prioritization of this bill because it will save 880 central Wisconsin jobs, and that's not partisan. That's putting people first.
On the other side of the Capitol, in the Senate, Luther Olson's committee has it locked up in committee, and it may not get out.
That's true. He is the chair of the Education Committee. We don't know if that bill will get a hearing because he has shown his and voiced his staunch opposition to multi-vendor. He does believe single vendor is better. taxpayers would be best served if there were a multi-vendor system. They'd be off the hook for $447,000 in the Stevens Point area, for example.
You have a meeting scheduled with the governor next week on this topic.
I do. It will have been 7 weeks since I requested it, so I'm looking forward to finally speaking with him. I hope that he can agree that Skyward is an important issue to Central Wisconsin, and I sure hope he listens to me when I read my constituents' emails and letters to him about how important Skyward is to our economy, to our community, and to the families of Central Wisconsin.
So far, I know the governor's told me that he's staying out of the loop until the appeal goes through DPI. Before it gets to Department of Administration, do you think he should step in sooner?
Absolutely. There's a bill in the legislature. He asked the legislature to pass a workforce development bill, and we did. We funded $15 million to workforce training programs, and he was happy about that. So if he can influence the legislature that way, he can certainly influence the legislature to save jobs. He's talked repeatedly for years about creating 250,000 jobs. This is his opportunity to save us 880 jobs.
Anything you want to add today?
Thanks for the opportunity. That's it.